You did what you had to, brother. He looks away for a moment, watching the comings and goings of people.
I know. He goes quiet. Do I remind you of him sometimes?
I debate his question.
Yes, but you have something he never did.
What's that? He inquires, looking at me.
Me? I smirk.
He had no one to drag him back down, to stop him before he went too far.
You have his hunger, his smarts, and yes, his anger.
I believe Rox likes to earn her way. She wouldn't be intimidated here, but she would also insist on paying herself.
Oh, nod, he's right. He always is. He has a good read on people. Did you ever think this is where we would end up?
He glances at me then, his face cold, but I know better.
My brother has the world on his shoulders, always did. Even back then, protecting me from our old man, it made him sharp, cold and angry.
No, I thought we would either be dead or still with the bastard.
I nod solemnly. You did what you had to, brother. He looks away for a moment, watching the comings and goings of people.
I know.
He goes quiet.
Do I remind you of him sometimes?
I debate his question.
Yes, but you have something he never did.
What's that? He inquires, looking at me.
Me? I smirk.
He had no one to drag him back down, to stop him before he went too far.
You have his hunger, his smarts, and yes, his anger. But you also have a family that genuinely cares for you.
We're all a bit messed up,
but we know how to keep each other sane. You never have to worry about being him. I would never let you. I would kill you first.
I vow, and he smiles, a genuine one. And I can almost see him as a kid, when he used to smile like that all the time before my dad beat it from him.
Just then the man returns and arranges the jewellery before us. We pick the ones we like, not bothering to look at the prices. He promises they will be boxed and waiting for us and then leads us to the clothing area. We sit for a while as he shows them off and coordinates outfits from what we like. Roxy might not enjoy being spoiled, only because I have a feeling no one ever has. But she has no choice anymore. I've decided we are keeping her, and that means I get to spoil her whenever I want, and she has no option but to deal with it. She can make it up to me, show me how appreciative she is in the new underwear sets we bought her. Because holy hell, are they hot. I can just imagine them propping up her tits, covering her tatted skin. Fuck, what an inappropriate time to be hard. Shifting, I rearrange myself and slide my card to the man to pay for it all. Car out front, I answer when he asks where to take it. Slipping my shades from my coat and sliding them onto my face, I follow Tony and Sam outside, watching as they quickly load up the car.
We should get her a car, a fast one. She would love it.
Ryder snorts. What part of she's our prisoner don't you get?
I look over at him then, grinning.
We both know that's a lie. From the very first moment we laid eyes on her, she was more than a prisoner. She doesn't need a car. We'll drive her anywhere she wants, he snaps.
I nod. Just a thought, brother, might make her feel more free. Don't get her one yet, though. Let her realise she's beyond lost in love with us first, and she'll never leave.
No, you're acting crazy. She will never love us. We're too twisted for that. She wants us, sure, but she'd never love us, he scoffs.
That's where you're wrong, big brother.
You might be the brains of the operation, but you are wrong this time. I wink before climbing into the car. He grumbles and follows after me. We drive uptown, taking the long routes to see if anyone tries anything. Still nothing. We can't keep driving around. It looks suspicious. Ryder snaps, banging on the wheel. I really thought he would take the shot with both of us here.
I tap my chin as I think, my eyes locked out the window.
Pull up here and pretend you're on a call. It's an empty area and the buildings block him from getting a shot.
He would have to get close, providing a good opportunity to grab him.
How do you know he's even waiting? He snaps. Think, Roy. I know you got laid, but stop letting your dick run the show. He's here. He's disappointed them once, and now he's desperate to make it up to them.
That makes him sloppy, and it works for us.
He nods and takes a deep breath. I don't like that he was gunning for you guys. It's making me angry, which is never good.
I nod. I know, brother. You don't care when they come for you, but us, it is your buttons.
We have your back, we've got this. He pulls into the alley like I suggested, and we wave Tony off a bit so he thinks he stands a chance, and then we wait. Ryder pretends to be on his phone, and I lean my head back, feigning being asleep, even though my eyes are cracked and my hand is on my gun, waiting.
Come on, you bastard!
The minutes drag on. Maybe I was wrong.
Fuck! We need him. We need to hit the triad and find out what he knows. Not to mention Diesel is itching to hunt the bastard down, and that would come with a body count spread across the city. No. We need to find him and hand him over to Dee to have some fun. Then we'll take the bastards down who try to harm our family. We try to play nice. We try to be respectful, and this is how they repay us. Nah. It's their death warrants they signed. We will destroy them, brick by brick. It's Ryder's specialty. I already know he's working on how to crumble every one of their businesses and bank accounts to take their money. Then he will start on their families. Only after that, when they are terrified and alone, will he turn his eyes to them. He's a brutal bastard, the best at what he does. Protecting those he loves. Even when we were kids, he was the same, always the most serious. Fuck, he even used to wear suits even then. He never got a real childhood. Nah, he became what my dad wanted him to ensure I was never in the man's path. He did everything our father asked, even dirtying his hands. I remember the night he first killed someone. He was 13, I was 11. He came home and there was something different about him. He was scared, not of Dad like usual, but of himself. He had blood on his hands and sat scrubbing at it, tears rolling down his cheeks. He told me what happened, not the full truth, of course. I learned later he did it to protect me, that Dad had played on his love for me like a bastard he was. He'd threatened Ryder, told him if he didn't kill the man, then he would make me do it. He didn't want me to stain my soul, so he did it. Even though it broke something in him, he did it. I held him as he cried. That was the last night I ever saw him cry or show weakness to this date. He told me he was scared that he wasn't horrified, that it felt right that he was a monster like my father. I promised I would never let him be. I will keep that promise. He gave up his childhood, his soul for me. I would do anything for him. He doesn't even realise that Roxanne, as he calls her, is part of that. He needs a weakness, someone he can share the world with, who can help him with his burden, or he's going to burn out. And I can't lose him. I'll protect the crying boy with the blood on his hands, and she will be the key. It started in my head the very first day after the way he looked at her like she was a challenge, a puzzle he couldn't figure out. And she wasn't scared of him like everyone else. She met him head on, just as stubborn, just as angry at the world. Roxy will save him. She will save us all. And we will damn her. I should care, but I can't seem to. Not when I get to keep her and my brother. My eyes catch on something farther down the alley, a movement so slight I wouldn't have seen it if I wasn't looking. 12 o'clock, I murmur, hardly moving my lips. Yes. Ryder snaps, still pretending to be on the phone. The shadow moves along the wall and takes up residence behind a crate. I thumb out a quick text to Tony without looking eyes on the silhouette. He fires and we lurch forward as the car starts. Idiot, the fucking glass is bulletproof!
He tries to run, knowing we spotted him, but Tony blocks the alley at the other end and then we're on him. Rushing from the car and leaping across the hood, I tap his shoulder, and when he turns, I punch him in the face. He doesn't go down, though. He tries to hit me with his gun. But Ryder grabs him from behind and starts to choke him out, so I pluck his firearm from his hand and pistol whip him across his temple. He slumps in Ryder's arms, who lets him drop to the ground.
See, brother, easy! I laugh.
Tony and Sam grab the man and drag him back to their car as we head to ours.
Diesel will be happy, Ryder grins, and we'll get the information we need.
They fucked with the wrong people. Vipers, brother. Even snakes fear other snakes.
I agree.
27. Roxy. I'm going to kill him. Seriously, I'm going to kill Garrett. Garrett and I haven't spoken all morning after what happened last night. This morning, Diesel dragged me from my room and Garrett cooked me breakfast without saying a word to me. After, they tugged me into the living room where I fell asleep on the sofa. He won't speak to me or even look in my direction. It's driving me nuts. So what? He hates women. And yeah, he used me, but I enjoyed it. I would have told him no or kicked his ass otherwise. I don't give a fuck, and for some reason, I want him. I need to peel away all that anger to reach that fear I saw underneath, to the man I know he is. It seems so important, but he won't let me, instead giving me the cold shoulder. Fuck that. I've never been the type to sit idly by. I survived this long by being a fighter and never giving up, no matter how scared I was. This is no different. Whatever is between us has morphed over the time I've been here, and sleeping with Kenzo and Ryder has only cemented that. I want them, and I care for them. Not that I'll ever tell them. The bastards would use it against me. I can keep fighting myself all I want, or I can revel in it. Bathe in the pleasure and power they offer. I'm tired of running, tired of living day to day, and Garrett doesn't get to push me away because he's scared. I'm terrified. Of him, of them, and what they mean to my body and heart. But I'm still here, still fighting, so he has to as well. I annoy him at first, poking him, kicking him, and when he snarls at me, I smirk in triumph. He goes back to ignoring me and watching TV, so I change the channel. He grunts and yells at me, but his phone rings. I hear him talking to someone who sounds like Kenzo, so I keep changing the channel. He gets irritated and shouts and ends the call glaring at me. Behave! Or what? I grin. Going to put me on my knees again? His eyes darken hungrily, his gaze dropping to my smirking lips in memory as he shifts on the sofa, no doubt remembering his cock there. I know I am.
That was a mistake.
Sure. Whatever you say, big guy. Hey, I was supposed to have a tattoo finished soon. Can I still go? I question.
By who?
He counters, narrowing his eyes. At least it's a step in the right direction. Zeke from Alluring Art? I shrug.
A guy?
He snaps, his body vibrating with anger.
No.
What? Why? I ask, pissed now.
No one other than us touches you.
He growls, and I laugh. Jealous? I smirk. He grins again.
No, the others would kill him. Is your tattoo really worth his death?
Diesel laughs too, as he slouches on the sofa next to me.
He's right, I would kill him. But Garrett tattoos. He can finish it for you. He did all of ours.
Garrett freezes as I perk up. Shit, really? They're good. Will you?
No,
he snaps, grinding his teeth as he throws a glare at a smirking Diesel. What? Why? I can't go to Zeke, but you won't finish it? I yell. His head turns slowly, eyes dark.
I'm not inking you. Forget it.
Why? 'Cause I'm a woman, and you would hate to lower yourself to touching me? I poke.
Oh, this is going to be good. I need popcorn,
Diesel mutters, but I ignore him as I stare at Garrett, not backing down now.
Leave it,
Garrett warns. Yeah, fuck that. I'm done with his tantrums. What's your issue? Scared of pussy? Or are you just really so self-destructive and filled with hate that you can only get it up by hurting someone? The room is silent, apart from the popping of Diesel's popcorn in the kitchen.
Walk away. Right now.
He snarls, his voice low and deadly. His eyes are alight with that same wrath I saw in the ring. He's beyond angry. He's going into his fighting territory, and I'm the opponent. The smart thing to do would be to walk away and let him calm down. Do I? No, of course not. I never said I was smart, but I do have some big-ass balls. No. So is that it, little Garrett? Was it your mummy? No, a girlfriend, I bet. What does she do? Cheat? Oh, no. Poor little Garrett. But that doesn't mean you get to treat me like shit, you big asshole. You can glare and threaten me all you want, but everyone knows the truth. You want me, and you hate yourself for it. Life is never promised. Tomorrow is never guaranteed. And I don't believe in wasting any time on what you wish you had said or done. So even though I know it's dumb, I let it all out. We can never move forward until we get over the past. He moves quickly, probably from his boxing, grabs my throat and drags me into the air. My feet barely touch the floor, but I don't fight his hold. I relax into it with a smirk, even as he tightens his grasp, cutting off my air supply. Those lips are curled up in hate, and his face is a snarl. Nothing but anger is guiding him. He doesn't see me, no. He sees her. The woman who hurt him so deeply he's never recovered. You have a death wish, is that it? Want me to kill you? Because I will. You might have sucked my dick. I might want you, but I will still end you. He threatens. Then do it. Let's really end this. Kill me now or stop using your fear as an excuse to push me away, I wheeze. He breathes heavily, his chest heaving as he glares at me. With a grunt, he throws me back to the sofa and goes to storm away. Sucking in rapid breaths, I rise to my feet, my eyes catching on Diesel, who's sitting out of the way on the table, munching on popcorn and looking way too happy to watch the drama unfold. Stomping after Garrett, I chase him upstairs. He slams his door, but I rip it open and follow him inside. I refuse to back down now. I'm finally getting somewhere. He paces the floor before swinging his arm out and sweeping it across his drawers, knocking everything to the floor with a crash. Glass shatters, but he doesn't care. He swings his hand and connects it with the bag so hard it snaps and tumbles to the floor. He grabs his bed and tosses it over. Even in the midst of the destruction, it's not enough. I can feel it. I know that feeling. When you're so filled with hurt, with pain, it whoops you. I healed mine over the years with the help of Rich, but Garrett hasn't had that chance. He bottled it all up, not wanting to show his weakness, and it's rotting him from the inside out. It will kill him. So even though I'm facing down death, I keep pushing. Finished? I drawl, leaning against the wall. He spins, his nostrils flaring, and advances on me. He slams me back into the wall. This feels familiar, I tease. Stop pushing, he growls. Why? I'm done tiptoeing around you. The others might, but I won't. I see the pain in your eyes. I know because I used to see it in mine. Someone hurt you, someone you trusted, someone you loved. It changes you, it breaks you down, and in its place is a broken creature. One whose whole world crumbled. I know, I yell, because that was me. I quiet then, breathing heavily. It still is sometimes. I'm still running from it. Still living in fear, like I'm that same little girl. He becomes motionless, his eyes flicking between mine, so I surge forward, baring my soul even though it hurts to flame myself open for him. I trusted him, Garrett. I loved him like a child should. Tears fill my eyes, and I hate that show of weakness, knowing he still has that power. Every fist, every kick or spat word broke me down. I became nothing but a survivor, living from one day to the next, and even now, when I'm free of him, I did the same, losing myself in booze and sex so I didn't have to face myself. Want to hear the kicker? He still managed to fuck my life over by selling me. He fucking sold me. I laugh bitterly. As if ruining my whole fucking childhood wasn't enough, he went ahead and sold me. But you know what? I'm tired of running. I hate him. I want him to pay, but more than that, I want to be free of those claws still inside me. I don't know how to do that, but I'm trying. You have to try, Garrett, because I see it in your eyes. You're in survival mode, still fighting, living day to day. But that's no way to live. I'll stop running if you stop fighting. He drops me and turns away. I don't know how, he admits. I don't touch him. I know he hates that. So instead, I circle around his body to face him. First step, admit it to yourself. You need to heal, Garrett, or your foundations will crumble. I'm not saying you have to talk to me, but I'm here if you need to. But so are your brothers. They're out there and they love you.
And you,
he rasps, watching me, his eyes raw. Me? I don't hate you. All the time, I smirk.
Why? Why are you trying to help me?
He asks, and it seems important. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe because I see myself in you. Or maybe I'm bored. Maybe I'm doing it for purely selfish reasons. Either way, I'm here, and I'm not going anywhere. We have to find a way to live together. If you really do hate me, we can work out a schedule so you can avoid me if that will help, I suggest, and then hold my breath. He swallows, his Adam's apple bobbing and fists clenching.
I don't hate you. That's the problem, baby, don't you see that?
He shakes his head bitterly.
I don't hate you. I care way too much. But the last person I did
hurt you, I finish. Okay, so we take this one step at a time. I'm not asking for marriage. I grin and he laughs. Just a truce if we can manage it. I'll stop pushing you for a reaction and you can stop trying to choke or kill me. Okay, maybe the kill me part. Feel free to choke me anytime. It's pretty hot, actually. He chuckles again, but it finishes in a groan.
You can't talk to me like that.
He shakes his head.
I want you, I do, but I can't. I would kill you. I don't even know if I can be with someone like that again. You should stick to the others, to someone who can give you what you need. Not a broken fuck-up.
So try, I shrug. Find out for real. It doesn't have to be now, but think about it. I won't lie. I find you attractive, and I wouldn't kick you out of bed.
And I thought you hated us,
he scoffs. Oh, I still do. It's annoying as hell, but I'm trying here. Orgasms tend to lessenate, and let's face it, we both know this is my life now. I'm just done fighting against it. He sighs before sitting on his upturned bed and hanging his head in his hands.
Yeah, it is. We're fucked up men. We shouldn't have accepted the deal.
Maybe, maybe not. It's in the past, though, no point dwelling on it. What's done is done. I'm one of you now, and it's time I learned what that means and start acting like it. It won't be easy. I'm still pissed and might take it out on you guys, but I'll try to understand. Or they can just fuck it out of me. He groans but goes quiet for a while, so I just sit here with him. Rich taught me that it's okay to just be there, to let them know you are here if they need you. He sat outside my bedroom like that every night for a year. Every time I woke up screaming or scared, he was there, and it helped.
You're dead. One day you will tell us,
he whispers. Yes, one day, I nod. He sighs.
Then one day, I'll tell you as well, baby.
He looks at me, and the word baby on his lips has me shifting to ignore the heat pulsing through me. This man is capable of such destruction, such evil. Yet I want him so much. I want him to destroy me in the best way. Good. So, where do we go from here? I laugh.
We try to get along. To stop fighting each other, just because we're scared of what the other represents.
He nods and looks around.
I better clean this up.
He sighs and heaves to his feet. I'll help. I caused it, after all. He turns and offers me his hand. He's done this before, but this feels more important, like a fresh start. So I let him pull me to my feet, and this time, he doesn't let go straight away. He smiles down at me, his touch lingering.
Thank you.
I nod, and without a word get started. We work together in sync, aware of where the other is. I make sure not to touch him or brush by too closely as I throw wood away and sweep the floor while he straightens the bed and hangs the bag. I pile his stuff from his drawer on the side, wincing when I find the ring. I don't ask, though. I put it on top. I can feel his eyes, but he's shared enough for the day, so I carry on working like nothing happened. When we're done, we head back downstairs. Diesel grins at us and wiggles his eyebrows as he throws a knife at cans lined up on the table. Did you two fucking make up? I heard a lot of crashing before I would leave you to it. I laugh. The phrase is kiss and make up, crazy pants. He frowns, suddenly serious. Well, that's a boring way to make up. You know what? You're right. I grin and head his way. Can I try? He holds a knife above my head. Are you going to use it on either me or Garrett? Not that he seems put off by the idea, more curious. Why? We both know you would enjoy it. I wink before punching him in the gut. He bends over, wheezing, and I pluck the blade from his hand and turn to the cans as he laughs breathlessly. I'm gonna marry her, he tells Garrett, but I ignore that, taking it as just another one of his crazy ramblings. You have to ask her, genius, Garrett chuckles. Nah, I'll just put a ring on her finger one day and tell her it happened, he declares earnestly. Rolling my eyes, I toss the knife like Rich once taught me. It hits the can and knocks it off. Whooping, I turn to them with a smirk. Remember that when you piss me off next time. Stalking around the table, I grab the knife and wander back over as they watch me in shock. Flipping it in the air, showing off, I drop it in Diesel's hand. Thanks, crazy. I saunter away, their eyes still locked on me. I think I just came, I heard Diesel say. Garrett snorts. You're nasty. You telling me you didn't just get hard? Diesel asks loudly. I ain't talking about my cock with you, he replies as I giggle. We spend the next hour in comfortable silence, but I soon get bored. I need to do something. I'm so used to working that I'm at a loss without it. I use it as a distraction, but it works, and I honestly miss it. I'm not the type to sleep all day or laze around. I need to be doing something. So when Ryder and Kenzo turn back up, I get to my feet in excitement. I watch in shock as Ryder strips off his jacket and looks around at us, but then I freeze at the blood on his shirt. We haven't discussed what happened. Yeah, we fucked, but there were feelings there. I don't know where I stand, but staring at the blood, I feel worry pool in my stomach, and I'm suddenly before him, even though I don't remember moving. He blinks down at me, seeming confused as I finger the blood. Are you okay? What happened? It's not my blood, he assures me, his voice cold, but his face softens ever so slightly. He opens his shirt to show me his untouched chest. See? I nod, relaxing, and looking over at Diesel, who seems way too happy. He's going to get the information you need. Ryder nods as his fingers circle my hands on his chest, holding them there so I feel the thrumming of his steady heart. Yes. Then I want to go with him, I declare, before leaning up and quickly kissing Ryder. I'm unsure why, but it feels right. I need something to do. I can make sure he doesn't kill him too fast, I whisper to Ryder, who seems shocked at my kissing him. Kenzo pouts. Aw, don't I get a kiss too, he murmurs. Laughing, I dart my fist out to hit him. He grabs it midair and yanks me against him, dipping me dramatically as he kisses me hard, solidly, until I'm moaning into his mouth, and only then does he let me up. My core pulses with molten heat from that one kiss. I stumble away and he winks. Better. Are you sure, Roxanne? Ryder queries, bringing me back to the conversation. I shrug. I've seen him at work already, and he doesn't scare me. Plus, you already said I can control him. Let me help, I'm going crazy in here. He searches my eyes before nodding. If he gets to be too much, come back up, he warns, pretending Diesel can't hear him. She'll be fine, won't you, little bird? He smirks, rubbing his hands together. He's right, I will. See you later. I nod at them, and Diesel drags me to the elevator. I won't be coming back up, even if it gets to be too much. I need to show them I can survive their lives, and this is their lives. If I fear Diesel, he'll use it against me, and eat me up with it until I die. No, I refuse to back down. I know they are my future now, and I need to take control, be part of it, prove to them I can be an asset more than a good fuck. Honestly, my old life feels like a blur. I've become so consumed by the Vipers. I don't want to leave anymore. I realized it a while ago, but I still fight it. I'm tired of being alone, of just surviving, struggling every day. Yes, I miss the bar, and I'll need to make sure it's still running. But truthfully, if I put aside all the bad shit, my life here isn't too bad. Apart from being bored shitless. I'm hoping, if I can prove myself useful, they might let me do something. My future is still uncertain. They might kill me, but as the days pass, it seems less and less likely. They need me too. I know it. I see it. They want me here. All apart from Garrett. Yeah, they're criminals, but half the people I know are. Yes, they can be cold, evil bastards, and this relationship didn't start off in the best way. But whatever does in real life. They aren't knights in shining armor, no. They are the villains in the dark, with brooding eyes and beast-like tendencies. I never needed a knight. I needed a body to stand with me in the dark, and these snakes, they do. The more I learn about them, the more I realize just how alike we really are. They might have money and power, but underneath, we are all the same. Maybe that's why they seem reluctant to kill me or use me like they first wanted to. Like recognizes like. Maybe their venom is infecting me. Maybe it's Stockholm Syndrome. Maybe I just don't fucking care. I've never felt so alive. They care. They notice. Their words might be harsher and their touches mean, but only because I don't think they know how to love any better than I do. I guess we're going to learn together, because now I'm all in. I'm walking, willingly, back into that den of vipers and holding out my arms to be bitten. Let's just hope it doesn't kill me. The door opens with a ding, and Diesel looks down at me, his face transforming. He looks eager and hungry, but not for me. For pain. For bloodshed. Ready, little bird. You're about to see what I'm really capable of. Ready, I nod, faking bravery. He smirks as he steps out. Good. Because you won't be leaving my side until you've screamed my name. He turns and heads down the corridor. Wait. What?
28. Diesel. I hear her behind me. She doesn't know what she's getting into. But she had a way out and didn't take it. I've held back, trying to be good. But I'm done with that. Tonight I'll get the information we need and take the woman who's mine. My little bird. I can hear the man already struggling in the chains, trying to get free. He's an assassin, so he'll be harder to break and all the more sweeter for it. When I enter the room, he freezes, his eyes scanning me for weapons. He knows why he's here, and he knows the likelihood of him surviving is low. He's smart, I can see it in his eyes. I wonder if he'll talk first, or test how far I'm willing to go. Let's begin, shall we? I grin and I hear my little bird enter the room. But she won't be just watching this time, nah. She'll be helping. She wants to be one of us. Then this is how it'll happen. Little bird, hand me the large knife, I instruct. I hear her hesitate and I look over at her. Now, little bird. She searches my blue eyes before sucking in a breath, grabbing the knife from the tray and passing it over to me. Smirking, I lean down and kiss her hand. Good girl. I turn back to the guy and step closer. I know all his weapons have been removed, but you can never be too careful. I make a few quick slices and rid him of his clothes, until he's hanging from my hooks naked. His shoulders have to be hurting by now. Roxy gasps, no doubt at his extensive scarring. He is an assassin after all. Now, is there anything you would like to tell me before I start? Please say no. He purses his lips, his eyes darting to Roxy before he spits at me. Laughing, I flip the knife in the air.
Thank fuck, this is going to be fun.
I toss it again, straight at him.
He braces himself as it embeds in his shoulder. The only sound he releases is a hiss between his clenched teeth. Little bird, they always break so easily, but I don't think this one will.
Is that a good thing? She asks, and I feel her hand on my back.
I glance over at her and grin, and she swallows at the sight. A very good thing, I purr,
and she hands over a scalpel without me even asking.
Ah, now she's getting into it.
Turning back to the man, I let him see the madness that lurks deep within me,
the fire they started in me as a child that not even I can control.
Stepping closer, I stare into the assassin's eyes as I drag the sharp edge of the blade across his skin, cutting through thick scar tissue until he hisses again, his eyes squinting.
I do it again across his chest and arms before grabbing the knife in his shoulder and twisting. Now anything to say? How about we start simply? Who do you work for?
Santa.
These sneers making me laugh, so I dig the blade in deeper, watching the blood drip from the wound. As an assassin, I'm betting your trigger finger is important. Correct? I muse out loud. He swallows, his Adam's apple bobbing, and I suddenly yank the knife out, forcing a scream from his throat. The sound is sweet to my ears and makes me hard like nothing else can, other than my little bird. Turning, I grab the saw, reach up and start in on his finger, whistling to myself. He shouts and jerks, trying to fight.
Blood squirts across the shackles in his hand until I hit the bone.
Swearing, I work the blade harder. Stupid saw, it's so hard to find a good bone-cutting one that doesn't blunt too easily. I tell him conversationally. You wouldn't believe the amount of times I've had to replace it. I sigh as I rip his finger off and toss it away. Dropping the saw to the floor, I grab my lighter and, grinning inches away from his face, press it to the wound to stop him from bleeding. He screams again, and as the scent of burning flesh hits me, I groan. Flicking the lighter shut, I step back with a nod, looking him over. Shall we try again? Fuck you! He spits at me, snot dripping from his nose and saliva dribbling down his chin. Very well. Grabbing the scalpel again, I begin to stab and slice. My movements random and chaotic, so he can't brace. But his screams ring in my ears, echoing around me, drawing up other screams from the past, mixing with the scent of burnt flesh. I cut faster and faster, stabbing. I keep slashing with screams, laughing in between. I can't stop. Fire flickers around me. My mother shrieks, ringing in my head until a hand pierces the flames, coming straight to me. Dee, look at me, the voice demands. It's low, sultry. Familiar. Little bird, I murmur, freezing. She grabs my hand and the blade. Panting, I blink and the room comes back into focus. She's standing before the bloodied, gagging man. Her hand is gripping the blade, cutting her own skin to stop me from using it again. When she sees me back, she smiles. You left me. Never, I murmur, looking into those eyes. You can't kill him, not yet. You haven't got your information, she cautions. You weren't trying to save him, I inquire with a frown, a sudden burst of jealousy pouring through me. How dare he? She's mine. She leans into the blade to draw my gaze back to her. And only then do I realise I had started growling like an animal. She gasps in pain, her eyes dilating as her blood drips down the knife's edge and across my hand, making me groan. No. Trying to help you, she whispers, her voice pained. Covering her hand, I dig the blade in deeper and she whimpers, but lets me. I groan and pull her hand away, tossing the blade before pulling her into my arms. Her hands come up to my face, framing it. I can feel her blood on her hand, coating my cheeks, and my cock jerks at the sensation as she desperately reaches up. But she's small. Grinning, I lift her from the floor until our lips meet.
It's a raw, pain-filled kiss and brings me back from the brink like nothing else can. Replacing the impression of flames licking at my skin with her softness. The taste of smoke with her sweetness. The sound of my mum's screams with her moan, which I swallow. Pulling away, I place her feet back down on the floor and she wobbles slightly unbalanced. So I hold her up. I need to sit down, she murmurs, panting. My face is available, I retort, and a laugh tumbles from her swollen lips. Grinning, I carry her over to the toolbox and sit her upon it. I unpeel her curled-in, injured fist, and I take a look at the cut. It's not too deep. Leaning down, eyes on hers, I kiss it, her blood coating my mouth. I straighten and lick my lips, tasting the metallic tang of her. And she shifts, licking her own lips. Oh, yes, my little bird likes me, feral, mean, a beast. Mad. Feeling more like myself and in control, I turn back to the man and smile. Sorry about that. Now, do you have anything to say? He pants heavily, his head dropping. The triad, they hired me. Each word is rough, his voice undoubtedly damaged from the screams. Gripping his hair, I lift his head and turn to grin at him. Very good, but how? How the fuck do you think? He snaps, making me frown and him swallow. Through acquaintances. Oh, I thought they were struggling financially. I ponder with a frown. He shakes his head desperately. No, it's all a lie, covering the true earnings. They have been dealing in other cities to earn back some money. They knew they would need it to come after you. And how do you know this? I ask casually. I do my research. He laughs bitterly. Clearly not good enough. I picked the wrong side. I'll grin then. That you did. He turns his head and spits some blood on the ground. I guess we better continue, he suggests, seeming tired. So I tut. Oh, don't give up so easily. You were so strong at the beginning. I comment as I look over at my tools. How about a nice bit of waterboarding to wake you back up? He scoffs. What, nothing new? I'm disappointed, I have to say. The great Diesel using old techniques. I thought you were more creative. I freeze. Oh, he wants to play this game. Fine. Grabbing my toy, I turn around with a smirk. Something new? How about this? I made it myself. Took a few concepts from other devices, of course. I shrug as I step closer. His bravado drops for a moment. Yeah? What does it do? This. I smirk as I push the channel onto his cock and click the lock. He freezes, barely breathing. But when nothing happens, he relaxes. I watch his face until he realizes it's slowly clamping down on his cock. His eyes bug out as the tube closes, compressing tighter and tighter. And when he starts to scream, I know he's cutting into the skin of his dick. How's that for you? I step back and lean between Roxy's legs as I watch the man scream. She drapes her arms across me, relaxing against my back as her chin props on my shoulder. Does hurting people get you hard? She questions randomly, making me blink before I smile. Turning, I grab her hand and press it to my cock. What do you think? She tilts her head, her lips caught between her teeth as I release her hand. But she doesn't move it away. Nah, she rubs me through my trousers, making me grunt. Leaning into her, fists on either side of her thighs, I lick her lips. Do not tease, little bird, unless you want me to fuck you right here. She sucks in a breath. Would you like to hurt me? Yes, I admit without shame. I want to carve up your skin. Watch the blood drip as I pound into you. She sucks in a shaky breath, her hand pressing harder against me. Would I survive it? Would you care? She shakes her head. Maybe. But I seem to want to find out.
I grinned.
I knew you would, little bird. You were so brave. Thinking you can control me. Stop me before I kill you. Tell me, can you turn that bloodlust into just lust?
She leans into me, biting down on my lip.
I want to try.
A particularly loud scream comes from behind me. Oh, those thoughts, I don't want him dying just yet.
It's hard to pull away from her exploring hand, but I do. I spin and flick off the clamp and pull it from his cock, wincing for him when I see the bloody cut-up mess. Damn, hope you didn't want kids, I laugh. I'll give you a moment to get yourself together. I'll just have a few more questions and then we're done.
Tossing my contraption to the side, I turn and lock my gaze back on Roxy as he passes out behind me.
I prowl towards her, and she smiles, not the least bit afraid.
Maybe I was wrong.
Maybe she isn't a bird. Maybe she's a snake. Like me.
She watches me with desire in her eyes. My little bird is freeing herself from her cage with every day, every action.
I want it. Her freedom, her pleasure, her pain.
I should be focused on the assassin, but with her here, all I can think about is bending her over that toolbox and slamming into her pussy.
Watching her cunt take my cock as bloodshed and torture surround us.
She licks her lips like she knows what I'm thinking.
Are you going to fuck me?
She inquires nonchalantly.
I circle around her, trailing my fingers across her shoulders and hair as I take in a lungful of the sweet scent that is Roxy. It settles into my bones, making my cock jerk. And the only way it could get better would be with her blood.
I'm thinking about it, I reply.
In front of him, or will you kill him first?
She asks, arching to give me better access. Stopping behind her, I push her hair to the side, and she stills as I lick and kiss along her neck, feeling her pounding pulse against my lips.
She's so fragile and so strong at the same time.
I think I'll kill him first. Then, with his blood still on my hands, I'll rip this dress from your body and fuck you, leaving handprints across this perfect pale skin.
She gasps and shivers, leaning against me. Little dirty bird. She loves it.
Humming, I nibble on her neck before biting down.
She gasps in pain but pushes into my teeth, daring me to go further. I know what she's doing, testing her control on me and challenging herself. She thinks if she can take me, have me, she can survive this world.
We'll see. And what if I use some of my toys on you, little bird?
Would you still come so prettily with my knife in your skin and my cock in your pussy?
She moans, her hand reaching back and circling my head,
dragging me closer as she rocks on the toolbox.
Running my hands across her shoulders and down, I cup her heaving breasts and squeeze hard, making her whimper. I saw you take Kenzo's cock.
You like the fight, the pain.
But how much pain can you handle? I whisper against her skin.
All of it, she replies as I trace down her stomach into her pussy before cupping it, letting her rock against me as I nip and lick at her neck.
I guess we will see. The others won't save you now. You came down here and you won't be leaving until I'm satisfied with your cum on my dick and your blood on my hands. Brave little birdie, walking right into the viper's den, I murmur, as the assassin starts to wake up.
Pressing my hand harder against her soaking cunt, I roll my eyes up to meet his as he blinks and lifts his head. He meets my gaze, and his eyes widen in fear as I play with my girl.
Tracing back up her body, I caress her breasts before biting her neck hard, making her scream.
Laughing, I pull away.
He's awake, little bird, so you will have to wait for me to play with you.
Feel free to play with yourself while you're away, though, as long as you don't come and he doesn't see an inch of your skin.
He closes his eyes.
I didn't see anything.
he rushes out as I stalk around her.
No, you didn't,
I growl possessively.
Can you smell her arousal?
I suck in a deep breath.
I can. She likes watching me work. Likes the blood, the pain. My dirty little bird.
He shakes his head, purposely trying not to breathe. But his breathing stutters and he inhales.
Darting forward, I cover his mouth and nose and get into his face. You do not get to smell her,
I snarl, and his eyes widen as he attempts not to take another breath.
We watch each other as he struggles.
No doubt his lungs are closing.
Dee, be nice,
she calls from behind me.
Laughing, I pull away and he sucks in a deep breath and coughs. Say thank you to my little bird for letting you live.
He coughs again, his eyes watering as he raises his gaze and looks at her.
Thank you, little bird.
I freeze, and she swears.
Did you just call her little bird?
He swings his eyes to me and realizes his mistake.
No, I was just...
Dee,
she murmurs, but I ignore her as I get into his face.
Choose your words carefully.
Is there anything else you can tell me?
I ask, holding back for now, trying to do my job,
even though I want to rip him to pieces.
They have hired others, kids, to kill you. They won't stop until you're dead, and they have someone who knows things about you.
He rushes out.
A mole? I demand.
He shakes his head harder.
No, some of the intel was old. I'm guessing an ex-employee.
I slap his face lightly. You did good. I'm beyond pissed someone we gave a job to has betrayed us. I'll have to tell Ryder and let him search through them. We tend to monitor old employees to make sure they don't need anything but this.
This is betrayal.
Turning away, I smirk at my little bird as I palm my small knife from my waist.
She gasps as I spin and slice his neck.
His eyes widen in shock and he sputters as blood squirts and pumps from the wound.
He can't stop it, and I put my face directly in his as he dies,
seeing the light dim from his eyes.
She's mine! Mine!
I roar. I watch him die, and then, still feeling that need roaring through me, I turn to face my woman. She's watching me with fear and desire warring in her eyes as I step closer.
Good, she should fear me.
I could burn her as easily as she could consume me.
She knows I'm dangerous.
Knows that maybe being in my arms means her death. But she steps forward willingly. We are just two people who found each other in this dark, brutal world.
She's fucked up, but I am too. Together we could be something amazing.
Or we could explode. I want to find out.
I won't be her saviour. I'll be her sinner.
But she's okay with that. More than okay, she presses herself against my chest and tilts her head back to grin up at me. I can hear the blood dripping to the floor behind me, but she ignores him as much as I do. We have each been dancing around these flames since she first got here, and it's time for us to ignite.
Diesel.
The way she says my name sends a pulse of lust straight to my already hard cock.
Her lips are parted in desire, the crests of her breasts almost tumbling from her top as she breathes heavily.
Little bird. I reply, lowering my head slowly, giving her a chance to pull back.
I wouldn't let her escape,
but it would set the tone for how this is going to end.
Does she want a fight, like with Kenzo, or does she want to surrender to me and the pain and pleasure I wield? She meets me halfway.
I tangle my fingers in her hair and drag her closer, forcing her onto her toes as I kiss her.
She calls to that feral part in me, beckons it out to cover her skin in it.
Please.
She begs against my lips.
It's her plea that does it, and she knows it. Her eyes are alight with mischief.
My little bird knows exactly what to say to play this game. She's willing to do anything to get what she wants. And right now, that's me. Deep inside of her. Her cheeks are flushed with desire and her eyes sparkling.
Even down here in the basement, she shines like a jewel. Her hand trails down my chest and I let her. She deftly unfastens my jeans and frees my cock, her eyes dropping to it. She takes in the tattoo on my dick and the flames that lead up across my hips and licks her lips.
Flames?
A reminder of how easily we can all fall, I murmur. She nods in understanding as she circles my length before flicking my piercing on the end. Growling, having had enough of her playing, I grab her hands and drag them over her head until she's stretched. That's not how it's going to be, little bird.
No,
she challenges with a grin flirting on her lips. You want soft, go to the others. You come here and you get pain. But you already know that, little bird. You came here to punish yourself with me for wanting us for giving in. I will gladly oblige. Her knees buckle, so I hold her up. No, this won't work. I need my hands free. Keeping her hands in mine, I trap them under my arm as I quickly undo the ties on the assassin's chains and toss his corpse into a corner. I drag her behind the pool of his spilled blood and I chain her one hand at a time, forcing the chains down until they circle her wrists and she can barely touch the floor. I'll make sure to wrench her shoulders back until she gasps, the pain constant and unsparing, keeping her on edge. Pleasure is just another form of torture, and I am a master. Her eyes are wide, her chest heaving as she watches me. She wants this. She entered this place willingly. Now I'm going to take her again and again until I'm satisfied. And if she survives it, then she is one of us. Using the same small knife I wielded to slit the man's throat, I slice down her top, cutting it off her. It falls away to reveal her breasts, which are tumbling from a see-through black lace bra. I make sure to carefully remove her boots, knowing she's fond of them. When her creamy skin is exposed to me, I wipe the blade and disinfect it, needing it to be clean for what I have planned. She watches me with a gulp, eyes wild. Her blush stains her chest now as I trace my eyes down her tattoos and curves. She is delicious, all temptation. Fixed eyes, tattoos, and a crazy attitude that has me rock hard all the time. I'm going to run this knife across your skin. Not cutting, not yet, just dragging. Leaving delicious pink marks for my mouth to follow. I tell her, letting the blade catch in the light and glisten. Stepping closer, I brush my lips against hers. Right to your sweet little wet pussy that I can smell. As I talk, I slice downwards, cutting off her bra. Tossing it away, I slide the knife edge between the skin of her hip and the string of her thong, making her still as I slash upwards quickly. I toss that away as well. She's fucking stunning. Her skin is marred by some scars and ink. She's mouth-watering. Addictive. My favourite new obsession.
Then do it, stop talking, she snaps.
Or maybe I'm just not done playing with you.
Maybe I'm waiting to see that fire in your eyes.
Grinning, I step around her, trailing my finger across her plump ass and around her hip to her stomach, stopping at her belly ring. Eyes locked on hers, I tug on it. She stays quiet at first until I pull harder. Then a whimper escapes her, making me groan. And there it is, that fire. There, that's better, I murmur.
Asshole,
she spits, trying to lean back, the chains rattling. I lunge forward, pressing the knife to her neck, where not minutes before I had slit a man's throat. She swallows and tilts her head back, and when her eyes meet mine, she presses into the blade, testing me. Seeing how far I'll go. When it breaks the skin and her blood touches the blade, I pull away and she laughs.
So, not to kill me then? Then why not fuck me?
She taunts and spreads her creamy thighs, flashing me her glistening pussy and trying to get me to rush. Tutting, I trace the blade down the valley of her breasts before circling around her nipples. I make that loop repeatedly, pressing harder each time. You can't rush me, little bird.
I've been imagining all the ways I could fuck you, hurt you, and make you bleed and scream since I saw you. Raising the blade, I smirk at the pink marks I've left behind, and like I promised, I lower my head and follow the path with my tongue. She gasps, arching forward to try and press a nipple into my mouth. Greedy little bird. Lifting my head once again, I trace my blade from her breasts to her stomach and around her navel, before dropping to my knees and following that path. Rolling my eyes up, I flick my tongue across her belly jewel, and her head falls forward, her eyes meeting mine. Her lip is trapped between her teeth as she shivers from my touch. Rolling my tongue around her piercing, I pull on it a bit, making her moan before turning my head and biting down on her hip without warning. Her moan turns into a scream as she jerks in the chain, swinging away slightly. So I grab her hip and dig my teeth in deeper before releasing her skin and kissing it better. Licking and biting my way up her body, ignoring my aching cock, I trace the knife across her nipple. She moans at the dangerous edge of the knife across one of her most sensitive areas and tilts into it. So I do it again and again before licking over the path. She moans my name again, my little bird, trying to tempt me. So in punishment, I slash out quickly with the knife, drawing two thin cuts across the crests of her breasts. Leaning back, I watch the blood well in the slices as she whimpers, "D, please." Eyes locked on hers, I lick along the cuts, prodding the edges with my tongue until she grunts in pain but shivers in pleasure. Did you know, little bird, an edge of pain can enhance your pleasure? Now, normal people like just a little, while others can handle a lot. I wonder how much you can tolerate. Licking up her neck, I stop at her lips. We're going to find out. Keep pressing forward until your screams of agony mix with your shrieks of bliss. She nips at my lips, making me grin. What shall we start with, little bird? I can carry on with the knife. I have visions of it against your pierced clit as my tongue fucks your channel. Or maybe your tight little ass filled with my cock. She gasps, jerking against me. Knife, she whispers breathlessly. Very well. Dropping to my knees, I spread her creamy thighs to expose her pussy to the room. She's so wet, it's dripping down her thighs. And when I part her lips and lap her pierced clit, she presses closer. I would die happily with my face buried in her pussy, tasting her on my tongue. Running the knife up both thighs, leaving a stinging trail, I circle it around her pussy before wetting the blade with her cream. I lean back and meet those eyes, letting her watch as I lick the sharp edge clean of her juices. Delicious! Her eyes close for a moment before blinking open. Well, you're going to fuck me or just sit and talk? Gripping her thigh, I dig my nails in as I press the flat of the blade against her clit, hard, holding it there as I dip my tongue inside her channel. She groans my name, jerking in the chains and pressing closer. But it's not enough for me or her. Pulling away, I lick her clit and remove the knife before flipping it until the thick black handle is pressed to her entrance. Her eyes widen and her breath stutters before she nods, pushing against it to try and take it into her body. This is the knife I killed him with. Did you see how prettily he died, choking on his own blood? I murmur, as I press it into her before pulling it out and then pressing it back in an inch further. The blade easily slid open his skin. All that blood. The blood you're standing in. I trail off, licking my lips to keep the taste of her pussy in my mouth. Next time I'll make you watch. I'll fuck you with the blade to your throat as they die in front of us. With that, I slam the handle inside her. She screams from both pain and pleasure, and I chuckle before twisting the handle, the ribbed grip of it making her hips jerk forward as she tries to take more. Yes, more, she screams as I pull the knife free from her clinging body before slamming it back in, fucking her with it. She chants my name and words of encouragement as I watch the flush creep down her body, her thighs shaking as she reaches that peak. She's so close, her head dangling back in bliss, her eyes closed and face slack. So close. I yank the blade free and her eyes snap open. What the fuck? She screams. Chuckling again, I lick the handle of the blade clean as she watches, chest heaving. You don't get to come yet. You're going to ride that edge again and again until it's so painful for you that you beg to come. You fucking prick, she snarls before she swings in the chains, kicking out at me. I grab her ankle midair and hold it to my lips as I scrape my teeth across the arch of her foot, making her gasp. That wasn't nice, little bird, I murmur before dropping her leg and getting to my feet. Stepping away, I slowly pull off my trousers and she groans, her eyes dragging along my body, her thighs clenching together. Grabbing a wooden pole I sometimes use to bind their arms, I trail it between her breasts and down to her pussy, giving it a slight smack before walking around to her back. Her hair trails along her shoulders, and I push it away as I lay a kiss on her neck. You want punishment? You got it. I'll bring the stick down on her back in quick succession, repeatedly. She writhes and screams. I don't go gently, and as I pull away, I notice the welts across her skin, decorating it so prettily. So beautiful, watching your skin mark up for me. Knowing you will have to walk around with them, the others wondering what I did to you. I wonder, little bird, do they know how twisted you really are? I whisper against her skin. Because right now I know if I reach between those silky thighs, you'll be gushing from the pain. Do they know you like it as much as I do? She shakes her head, whimpers, leaving her lips. Didn't think so. Big, tough Roxy putty in my hands. Surrendering everything to me. Bringing the pole down again, I watch it darken her skin. Only to us. Everyone else gets the bitch, we get the softness. Fuck you, she whispers almost groggily. Laughing, I slap the pole across her ass, making her swing forward with a cry. Not yet, little bird. I want to see what else you can take. Everything, anything. You think you can hurt me? You can't. I've had so much worse done to me. So bring it, all your twisted desires. Do it. I can handle it. I can handle you, she snarls, her voice strong despite her naked, yielding body. I guess we'll see, I smirk, wondering if she actually can. Others have tried, thinking they could tame me. The guys have thrown women at me and I have broken every single one. Will my bird be the same? Not once did I want them as much as I do her. She sets me alight while they didn't even cause a spark. It's a bad thing for her. She has to take the brunt of my obsession. But we can't move forward unless she does. Unless I know she can survive the madness that hides within. Or I could accidentally kill her and the others would be pissed. Dropping the pole, I grab her neck in a vice. I won't play nice anymore. I was trying to hold back because I care for her, but she keeps on poking. Now she gets the flames. She gasps and arches back, rubbing her sore ass against my hard cock. Making sure to cut off her air supply, I grab my cock and kick open her thigh, slamming it inside her. She jolts from the force, unable to make a noise as I pull out and slam back in. The chains clang loudly. I'll keep her on the edge, forcing her body to its very limits of what she can take. Her pussy clenches around me, her wetness letting me slam easily in and out of her body. She trembles again as I tighten my hands and she starts to tug at the chain as I take the life from her before she suddenly stops and relaxes back into me. Good girl, don't fight it. I let up the pressure a bit and she sucks in a breath, pushing herself back to meet my thrusts at the same time. Leaning down, I grab the blade again. As I sink deep into her core, I trace my blade across the swell of her breasts. She moans loudly, unafraid as she lets me do whatever I want with her body. She might fight Kenzo. She might talk trash and be the bravest person I've ever met. But down here, with me, she lets go of that built-up control. Her walls crumbling around her as I take her like an animal. I slice between her breasts, down the valley between, and feel the blood flowing from the cut. Rubbing my hand in it, I press into the cut and make her scream in pain. Chuckling breathlessly, I trace that blood-covered hand down her stomach to her pussy and flick her pierced clit until she's back on that precipice. Then I stop, stilling, with my cock inside her body and my finger on her clit. She whimpers, trying to push back to get leverage to come. Bringing the knife back around, I dip the handle in her cream, coating it nice and good before slipping my cock from her clenching pussy. Grabbing her hips, I tilt her further back and part her cheeks. Tell me, little bird, have you had anything back here before? I hear her gulp loudly. Yes, she whispers. Did you enjoy it? I ask, genuinely curious, not that it will change what I'm about to do. She shivers in my hold, trembling. Yes. Chuckling, I press the handle of the knife to her hole. I manage to work it in an inch, then back out again. It's slow going, until the handle of the small blade sits in her ass. Stepping back, I look at the sight. The red welts on her ass, a knife sticking from it, her cream coating her thighs. Fuck! I almost come from the sight alone. Grabbing my phone, I take a quick picture and send it to the guys, letting them know what they are missing before tossing it away and taking her hips again. Diesel, she starts, as I line up with her pussy, the blade pressing to the fleshy skin above my hip. You'll hurt. With a roar, I slam back inside her, impaling myself on the knife. It slices through my skin, and it's a good job I know where to cut, so it's not fatal, but it hurts like a son of a bitch. The pain surges through me, meeting the flames in my stomach and balls. I'll take it out on her, fucking her harder, faster. The knife slicing in and out of my body as she screams. Blood drips down from the wound onto our joined bodies, making the passage even slicker. I can't move much. I don't want to shred my insides, even though the knife is small and just going below the skin. She whimpers, her pussy clenching and wanting more, and I do as well. So even though I love the pain and the blood now coating our bodies and hands, I grab the knife between us, moving it away to give me room. I twist the knife, causing her to groan and me to grunt in pain before I yank myself back and pull the knife free, tossing it away as I fuck her. Blood runs freely from my wound, and I know if I leave it too long, I'll pass out. It needs to be stitched up at some point, but for now, I'll survive. You're going to have to stitch me. What? She moans, barely able to talk. Once we're done, stitch me or I might die. I tease, but she gasps, thinking I mean it. Laughing, I grab her hips and slam into her again and again as I rub my blood-covered finger over her clit. My balls are drawing up, pleasure and pain roaring through me. I'm too close. I want this to last forever and I would happily die here, but I need to come to see it dripping from her bloody wet cunt. Come, I demand, and she screams as I yank on her clit piercing, her pussy clenching around me as she does. I grunt as I slam into her and still filling her with my cum. Panting, I lean against her, the chains swinging loudly before with a groan. I slip free from her body. I reach up and wince at the pain that movement causes on my damaged skin as I free her and catch her before she falls. Even though it hurts and I'm feeling a bit weak from the blood loss, I cradle her in my arms and head over to the crate, setting her down. Her eyes are still closed, her body shivering in aftershocks. She survived it. Brushing air from her face, I kiss her gently. Little bird, I knew you would be the one. You will never escape us now. You are mine, forever. Bound tighter than any ring or marriage ever could. You try to leave and I will hunt you down.
She grins, and I lean next to her with a groan. "Feel like stitching me, little bird. I hope your fingers are steady." She blinks open her eyes and locks onto the wound in shock, gasping.
"Fuck, okay, yeah, I can stitch. I've had to do it a few times on myself. I learned quickly. You got a kit?"
Laughing, I point to the kit in the corner that I have stashed here just in case they try to bleed out. "It's coming in useful now." She stumbles from the crate and, on bare feet, pads over and grabs it, her blood-covered ash shaking enticingly. Closing my eyes, I wait for her. I feel her close and open them again to find her kneeling at my feet, the pack open as she grabs what she needs. She cleans the wound, making me hiss, even as my cock hardens at the pain. She smirks and ignores it as she starts to stitch the cut together again.
"It's not too bad, just a bleeder is all, you crazy bastard."
Once she's done, she sits back laughing at my hard cock.
"Well, that was fun."
She falls onto her side and rests against me. Leaning down, I stroke her hair.
"Hmm," she hums, just relaxing. "I'm not helping you get rid of the body, though. I think you broke me. I need sleep and food."
Grinning, I kiss her, ignoring the pull of the stitches. "Next time, I'll get you upstairs. I'm sure Kensei will take care of you all sweetly." She glances up and pouts at me.
"Especially if I make that face. I bet I could even make Ryder run me a bath."
I laugh. "Evil little thing. You know exactly how tightly they are wrapped around your little finger."
She doesn't look the least bit ashamed. "More like my pussy."
"That too." I nod seriously, waiting for my strength to return before I move. "Next time, little bird, I will think of something even more daring." She groans at that.
"I can't wait, but seriously, I need to bathe. I'm hella sticky."
"In a bit," I nod and slide to the floor, pulling her into my arms, liking the thought of her covered in my blood and cum.
"Is your name really Diesel?"
she inquires, curling into me, blood and sweat coating her body.
"It's such a beautiful sight along with my marks."
"No," I reply, and she lifts her head to peer at me. "What's it worth to you, little bird?" She kisses me, hungry and hard, before pulling away as I groan. I drop my head to the floor. "Good God, you're trying to kill me." "Nah. My real name is Case. I took Diesel after that night. Case died in that fire with my mum, and I was born." She searches my eyes before laying a gentle kiss on my lips.
"I don't know about anyone else, but I like Diesel. Even if he is a bit crazy and tends to watch me sleep."
I laugh and pull her closer. "You haven't seen anything yet, little bird. You are mine now. I can't decide if I want to go on a murder spree or fuck you."
29. Roxy. After a bit, Diesel gathers me to his chest and, not worrying about clothes, strides down the corridor. Even with his wound, which is self-inflicted so I don't have much sympathy, and heads to the elevator. What we just did was fucking amazing. I feel refreshed, which is strange, like he helped me get out all that pain inside of me. Every inch of agony he inflicted broke down the walls holding my own, until my anger and fear was nothing but feeling for him, surrendering everything to him. He's right. With others, I'm different. But down here, I got to be just what I needed. They all offer me a different escape. Diesel's just happens to be twisted and bloody and filled with pain. Other people would scream at what we did and shrink away, but it was all consensual and ended in pleasure, so I don't give a fuck. Maybe it's the rest of the ward that's crazy, not us. And again, maybe we're just too insane to see how not crazy everyone else is. I don't know why, in these viper's arms, I'm not only discovering myself, but I'm finally shaking those walls I've had in place my entire life. A woman can be strong and weak, beautiful and scarred, scared and brave, smart and sexy. They teach me that, and I find myself standing taller with their support. I am who I am. I shouldn't make excuses for it. Even at the bar, I felt the need to be Roxy the hitter, that dark, angry bartender. I was never allowed to be weak, even when I needed to be. Here, I can be. Fuck. It doesn't mean I'll stop giving them shit, fighting everything, punching people, or being a general bitch. But just maybe, maybe I can trust them with everything else the world doesn't see. When the door to the elevator opens, he manages to unlock the apartment door with one hand, and when we walk in, we freeze. They're all there, sitting on the sofa waiting. Kenzo runs his eyes across me, and when he sees me in one piece, he winks. Garrett snorts, but I see respect in his eyes before he looks away. Ryder nods, but his lips twitch slightly. I got some information. Diesel starts, his tone serious before he grins. Roxy is a screamer. I can inform her dad now. Ryder laughs, the sound carefree for once. I could have told you that. Men. But I did get some from the assassin as well, Diesel offers, and Ryder sobers. I'll find out from Ryder. Let me take care of Roxy while you share what you learned. Kenzo smirks and sweeps down, grabbing me, and I yelp as he chuckles and ambles away. Peering down at me, he grins softly. I can't believe you survived him. You were bloody fierce, woman. You know what that means, though, right? What? I ask, cuddling into his hold. I should demand to be put down so I can walk, but I seriously can't be bothered. You have only challenged him to find new ways to make it hurt. He laughs. It's a good job he likes you. There's a whole lot of pain in your future. I groan. Fuck, he's crazy. But even as I say it, I smile. He's not the only one. Kenzo laughs, looking at me pointedly before kicking open his door and sweeping through the room. Holding me on his lap, he starts the bath and fills it with something to make it bubble before pulling me closer. We sit in silence as the bath fills, and I relax into his arms. I should question why I don't care about sharing my body with him and his brother, or why he doesn't care, but honestly, I've done worse, and I refuse to be ashamed of that. For them, I think it's because they went into this knowing they had to share the debt. I'm so lost in my own thoughts, I don't even realize the bath is full until Kenzo squeezes me. In you go. He dunks me into the water, making me shout when I surface and glare at him. I love it when you scream my name. I didn't, I sputter. No, let me rectify that. He winks, making me grin. What a cheesy bastard. He groans, his hand over his heart. Fuck, you're way too fucking cute. If you weren't relaxed,